So let's just review what we've said so far. The topic is Smichus Gula L'Tefillah. And the Rav asked a number of questions about Smichus Gula L'Tefillah Shal Arvis in the case of Mairiv. The Gemara paskins like Rabbi Yochanan that you need Smichus Gula L'Tefillah even with regard to Arvis. And yet, despite that, we find in the Gaonim, for example, that we add a Kaddish between Geula and Tefillah Shel Arvis, which we don't have in Shachris. And that's to demonstrate that Tefillah Arvis Rishus. Where do we ever find that we have to demonstrate that Tefillah Arvis is Rishus? And we found that this Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen, that whole thing, and Tosis comes up in one day with a concept called Geula Richta. It's all part of Gal Yisrael. I mean, what's in Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen that has anything to do with Gal Yisrael?
Shema Amen Yisrael Lad is Geula.
Yeah, and the Gemara says that Shomer Esamu Yisrael Lad is Geula Richta. Why is that called Geula Richta? So, leaving all those caches in abeyance, because it'll probably be months till we get back to answer them, we're going to start talking now about Tefillah. And the discussion begins with a very strange Gemara about a person who's in a state of a suffix. He doesn't remember whether he davened or he didn't daven. Do you see that there? It's on the top of your page, of the page I just gave out. You see that in the case of the first source on your page, Brachos Chaf Aleph. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So there's a case there on the second line, Sufik Hispal, Sufik Lo Hispal. And the halacha is, according to Chachamim, Eino Chozer Mispal. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Valavaishi Hispal Odom Kolayom Kula. Rabbi Yochanan is going to allow you to daven, because halavai should daven the whole day. So, and Rashi says that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Namely, that if you have a suffik ispal, suffik lo ispal situation, then you daven. Tosa says that dafka, in a case of suffik ispal, are you allowed to daven? And that's what we mean when we say Allah is Rabbi Yochanan. But what about a case of Vada Yispalel? Then Rabbi Yochanan seems to assume that you can't daven. Why not? So Tosa says, Domestoma lo pligi ahod Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul besamuch nizkar shehispalel posek afilu beemtza. Once you know that you fulfilled your obligation to daven three times a day, you can't daven again. And why not? Let's say, for example, you reminded yourself in the middle of davening, oh, I davened already. So you can't daven again. However, there's another statement of Shmuel that Tosis quotes at the end, that im yachol lechadesh davar b'tfiloso, he can add an extra tefillah even if he already fulfilled his obligation, but only on the condition that he does what?
Changes.
He has to change something. He has to add something new. So let's just summarize what we see here in this Gemara. There are a number of principles that come out of this Gemara. The first thing that comes out of this Gemara is that you can daven an extra davening even when you're not obligated to do so, but that only applies if you could be mechadish badavar. What is that entity called when you add a tefillah when you're not obligated to do so?
Nedava.
Nedava, correct. That's called the tefillah nedava. So the halacha recognizes the tefillah nedava, but only on the condition of one or two things. Either A, if you could be mechadish badavar, or B, in the case of suffik ispalel, suffik lo ispalel. If you don't know whether you davened or didn't daven, then you can add a davening, and you make a tanai. You say, look, if I davened already, let this be a tefillah as nedava. If I haven't davened yet, this will count for my tefillah chova, for the obligation that I have. If you started davening thinking that you're obligated, and in the middle of tefillah you decided, oh no, I davened already, you cannot transform the rest of your tefillah, the second half of your tefillah, to a tefillah nedava. But rather, posek, you have to stop afil b'emtza, even in the middle of a bracha. So therefore, if you take a look at the second source on your page, which is a Gemara on the same daf, Om Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Aya Omed B'Tfila V'Nizkar Shehispalel, Posek Afilu B'Emtza Bracha. If you remind yourself that you're davening already, you have to stop right in the middle of a bracha. What happens in the case of a person who comes into a tzibur of daveners and he himself wants to daven with the tzibur, but he already fulfilled his davening b'yachidus? He doesn't want to lose out on the opportunity to obtain the kiyum of tefillah b'tzibur. So if you see at the end of that gemara, again in the name of Rabbi Yudom Shmuel, his palel v'nichnas l'beis haknesses u'motza tzibur shem his palim im yochel l'chadish b'davar yachzor v'yispalel. Now that language of yochel l'chadish b'davar fits as a description of what kind of a tefillah. Again, he already davened, so it can only be a tefillah s'nedava. But nevertheless, he can't just daven a tefillah s'nedava. He needs to be mechadish b'davar. Im lav, if he cannot be mechadish b'davar, he can't add anything to the standardized prayer, then al yachzor v'yispalel. So there's a very interesting phenomenon going on here. Every single Gemara that we see is very hesitant, is almost inhibited to allow you to daven, except for the absolute chiyuv that was established three times a day. Beyond that, we're very, very hesitant. Number one, even in the case of Sofik Ispal, Sofik Lo Ispalel, the Chachomim say, Eino Chozer Mispal, he's not allowed to daven. Rabbi Yochanan allows him to daven in such a case, but only because of this very pressing need, because he doesn't know if he was Mekayim his Tfilas Chova. Tosa says that Rabbi Yochanan is standing on the shoulders of Shmuel, who allows you to add a Tfilah as an Adava, even though you fulfilled your obligation. But even then, as we saw, Shmuel predicates it, or he makes a conditional on the fact that you're Mechadish Badavar. I mean, the sum total of all that we've seen is that it's not a simple matter to just get up and daven.
Why not by a Suffolk? Shouldn't he be Mechadish Daven?
Oh, so that's another question that we have. In the case of Sofik Ispal, Sofik Lo Ispal, he doesn't have to be Mechadish Badavar. Why not? Somehow the pressing need of this Sofik, according to Rabbi Yochanan, allows him to add a tefillah, make a tanai, and he doesn't even have to be Mechadish Badavar. But even so, Rabbi Yochanan's only allowing this because of the Sofik. Had he known for sure that he already davened, he would not be able to add another davening. Unless, as Tosfos says, to reconcile Rabbi Yochanan with Shmuel, he's Mechadish B'Davar, and then he can set up a Tefillas Nedavah. But everything that we see, that's the point I want to drive home, indicates that the ability of man to be Mispalel is very restricted. The Halacha is very concerned about his davening. Take a look in the Rush, which is the third source on your page. He says, Devadai Lo kami boile im chova she yispal adam kol yom kulo ela bitfilas reshus kami boile. The suffix about whether or not he can add a tefillah has to do with a tefillas reshus. He's already fulfilled his obligation. Ve heshiv lo de lo yispal ela gimel piyamim. The Rosh says that they asked this to the Gaonim. No, he's only allowed to daven three times. Nu in kein heichi kom Rabbi Yochanan mutul spal kol hayom. Ela vadai Rabbi Yochanan lo kamar ela heicha shemachadish b'davar. So again, technically, beyond the third tefillah, you cannot daven. And we'll see this inside in just a minute. However, Rabbi Yochanan says you can daven the whole day, but that's only if he's mechadish b'davar.
Yeah. Something where you would have, may have.
Maybe you're just repeating what you said before, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, we have to understand what Mechadish Badavar means. It could be that Mechadish Badavar is very radical. On every single bracha, you have to be Mechadish Badavar. Again, he could have had amnesia, you're right. But
that's not necessarily so, because if you forgot it the first half, if you remembered in the halfway through.
Right.
You could.
Then you have to drop the ball. You have to be mafs.
In the Kharish Badava in the second half.
You can't, because you start as a chov.
I thought you said...
No, you could only start a Shmon Esrei knowing full well that it's voluntary, or in a case of Safek, where you know that it might be voluntary or it might be to replace. But if you started assuming that you're obligated, then you have to stop in the middle of a bruch. Now take a look at the fourth source on your page. Again, if you give me a few minutes, I hope the picture will become a little clearer. I'm trying to move towards a certain goal. So the Gemara says, Yochel yispalel adam kol hayom kulo. Is it possible for a man to daven and then daven and daven the whole day? Kfar mefurash al yidei Daniel v'zimnin t'losa. You're only allowed to daven three times a day, not beyond that. Going back to the rush before that, the last line of the rush, the heshiv lo da asur, you're not allowed to daven over and over and over again. Kemisha mispal chova. Hoil v'eina oset filoso tachnunim l'charish badavar. He's saying that if your extra tefillah beyond the three is exactly identical to the tefillas chova, then you're not allowed to go beyond the three. As Daniel taught us, v'zimnin t'los, only three times, not more. However, if you add a chidish badavar, then you convert your tefillah, you transform your tefillah into what he calls tachnunim, and then you're allowed to be mispalel. And the only exception to that is the case of Safek, where Rabbi Yochanan says you don't have to be machadish badavar. So again, the whole picture is that number one, there's something called the Tfilas Nedava, but for that you need to be Mechadish Badava. Number two, in the case of Safek, you're allowed to be Mispalel even without Chidish Badava. If you daven an extra davening, knowing that you fulfilled the first three, then the halacha is you're not allowed to go beyond those three and duplicate the tefillah of chova, unless you're machadish badavar, in which case the Rosh says you convert your tefillah into tachnunim. If you started a tefillah thinking that you're obligated to daven, and in the middle you remind yourself that you already davened, mafsik afilu b'emtza, he has to stop even in the middle. So where is this all leading us? This concept of being very restricted, very inhibited about adding another tefillah, and only under some very limited conditions do we allow you to do so. Where does that lead us? To what conclusion? And if you want to even give it extra emphasis, take a look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah brings down three opinions about what's called She'elas Tzrachov. Desanya Nochem Amadi Omer Shoel Adam Tzrachov Bishomer Tfila. If a man wants to ask for his own personal needs, he's got to inject it into Shomer Tfila. Then the Gemara quotes a Brisa and says that Nochem Amadi's opinion contradicts Ashle Ravrave, meaning great Tanoim. Desanya, we learned in a Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shoel Adam Tzrachov. The Acher Kach Yispalel. A man is permitted to ask his personal needs only if he follows through immediately with a standardized tefillah. He's got to, so to speak, latch on to a tefillah. Otherwise, it's not permissible. And he derives this from a pasuk in Tehillim. Then skipping down three lines, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, on the contrary, Yispalel. The Acher Kach Yishal Tzrochov. He has to first daven, and then and only then can he ask for his own personal needs. And he derives that from a pasuk. And the Gemara goes on to quote a drush of Rav Simlai, which you'll see at the end of Dav Zayin Amid Beis. Li'olam yisader adam shvacho shal makom v'acher kach yispalil. Rav Simlai derives from Moshe Rabbeinu the conclusion that before a person can daven, he's got to organize, he's got to present the Shevach, the praise of Almighty God. And the question that we have to ask here on this whole Gemara, from beginning to end, is who cares when he's Shoel Tzrachov? What difference it make? Why does one shita say he's allowed to be shol tzrach before the davening, but not after the davening? That's Rabbi Eliezer. And the other shita says, no, he has to ask his tzrach after davening, but he can't do it before davening. That's Rabbi Yeshua. And then in the middle we have the shita of Nochem Amadi, that he asks his trochim in Shomat Tefillah. What's it all about? Why can't a person just be Shol Tzrachah? If he has needs to ask, let him ask for them. The Gemara in Brachas again supports the same position. Yachal Yishal Adam Tzrachah V'Achakach Yispalel? Does a person have the right to ask for his needs and then daven? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shlomo HaMelech, in Melachim, Lishmala, Rina Vela Tefillah, Rina Zu Tefillah, and Tefillah Zu Bakasha. So first he's got to daven, and only afterwards is he allowed to ask for his needs. And then the Gemara says, Amal Achar Tefillah, once he's already prayed, then he can ask for as much as he wants. Afilu Keseder Vidu Yishal Yom HaKippur. So what I'd like you to refer to in the Yahrzeit Shir, if you can open up to page, just one second, Mem Beis, you have that? This is where I think we got to, and at this point the Rav presents what I call a breakthrough, a yesod, a fundamental concept, which you'll see on the top of page Mem Beis. I mean the first major paragraph. And the Rav suggests the following, that although on the one hand a person has an obligation to pray, to daven, and to pour out his heart in front of Almighty God, on the other hand, the only situation, the only method that the halacha permits him to implement, to utilize, in order to ask for his needs, is the mezgeret, the framework of tefillah, the amida, the shmon esrei, as we know it. But if a person wants to ask for his own needs outside of the framework of tefillah, he's not permitted to do so. And why is that so? Because it's a chutzpah. It's audacity on the part of man, who's mortal, who's limited, who's here today and gone tomorrow, to come running into the palace of the king with his own personal requests. God granted a gift to man with a great amount of benevolence on the Almighty God's part, but that license to pray has its conditions. It's got to be done in a certain way, in a certain framework that's organized and that's set into, fixed in stone. He needs a matir, he needs a license. And what is the matir? The matbea shel tefillah. In other words, when he utilizes the matbea shel tefillah, the structure of prayer, the way it was formulated by Anshei Knesset HaGdola, when he follows to the detail all the rules and regulations about davening, then and only then is he permitted entry into the king's private chambers to put forth his personal request. But to cry out to Almighty God without utilizing the structure of tefillah of Shmona Esrei, as it was formulated by Chazal, that's not permissible. He has no license to do so. It would be ha'ozas ponim for man to do so. And this, says the Rav, is the subject of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that we just saw. The Chachamim say that to ask for your personal needs outside of tefillah is completely prohibited. You cannot do this before you daven, you can't do it after you daven. The only thing you can do is to add it into the structure of tefillah itself. Since the structure of tefillah was given by the Chachamim and gives you license, the green light, to pray to God within that framework, within that structure, they allowed you to add your own personal request. Where? In one of two places. Either in Shomer Tefillah, that's the kolbonik, that's the amorphous hole which fits for a, which is appropriate for any particular petition, or at the end of each particular bracha amongst the 13 middle brachos, if you ask for something that's appropriate, that's related to that bracha. That's according to the Chacham. And then we have another approach. And this is the approach of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. They agree that there is a possibility against the Chachamim. They agree, meaning Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree, against the Chacham, there is a possibility of offering up a private supplication outside of the framework of Tefillah. But here's where they have an inner machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can only do that before the Tefillah. If you add it to your Tefillah, that's not permissible. Rabbi Yeshua says only after your Tefillah you're allowed to do it. Why? Rabbi Yeshua says that once you've already utilized the Matbea Shel Tefillah, the structure of Shemoneh Esrei as it was formulated by Chazal, then you're already inside. You know what I mean? You're in the king's chamber. Once you're there, the king has given you audience. Now you can add your own personal supplication. Rabbi Eliezer says, on the contrary, once you've already prayed, then by adding something, you're implying that you have to fix up the prayer. It wasn't complete. It didn't cover all its bases. That you're not allowed to do. But before you go and start davening, in other words, you're already given audience in front of the king, now express your personal needs as you begin davening. La halacha, says the Rav, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which means we accept the Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua. That means you're allowed, you have two options for a sheilas tzrochim. Either you add it, you inject it into the framework of Shmoneh Esrei, or once you've finished your davening, Elokai Nitzar, or whatever it is, you add your own bakasha. We reject la halacha, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who allows bakasha tzrochim, who allows you to put forth your personal supplication before the tefillah. Because once again, that would be a chutzpah on the part of man. It would be audacity on his part to say to God, I'm coming in, I'm barging in with my personal petition. That he can't do.
How do you explain all the examples like throughout Tanakh of spontaneous prayer? And like we learn the halachas of Shemesh from Chana, which was a spontaneous tefillah that she had this need and she prayed.
Well, again, we're going to have to come to grips about spontaneous tefillah in general. As I told you, Neil, many times, that you're going to have to be patient. Okay. You know, the question is whether that's before the Takon of Anshei Knesset HaGdola, or maybe that was a spontaneous prayer that was permissible under the Gemara that we're about to see now in Masechet Brachos, or maybe under the Gemara that we'll see here in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin, that's on page Mem Gimel. In other words, the picture is not yet taken its full. We're going to see that there are special occasions in which it's not a chutzpah for man to put forth a prayer.
My question is tefillah viewed as its separate own inyan or a collective bunch of brachos? Because if it's a collective bunch of brachos, then what we said earlier regarding sfikas, don't we have a separate inyanim of suffik brachos? Meaning separate rules that govern that? Because I understand that tefillah is composed of many different things, but...
Yeah, hopefully, Shmuel, when we finish this unit, the Rav is going to come back to answer up all his questions about the case of Safek, the case of Tefillah Nedava, the case of Mechadish Badavar, and ultimately to come back to Smichas Gula Tefillah. Okay. But right now, let's focus on this concept. That's the major concept that's going to be the, in a sense, underlying the whole Shia, And that is that tefillah needs a matir. You can't just go in and daf. He wants to add the Gemara in Brachos. This is on the bottom of your page, Mem Beis. You have it? Rabbi Yoshua Omer, this is in Brachos Chavches. And the Gemara interprets it on Chavtes. Ha-holech b'mokom sakona. You're involved in a threat. You're in a situation of life, which is life threatening. And here, if you recall, this halacha of tefillah ktsara, a very short tefillah that you pray, as you, I guess, to use Neil's term, spontaneously. But it's not so spontaneous, because even the tefillah ktsara has its own matbea, its own structure. Rabbi Yeshua says, what is the structure of this tefillah ktsara? Hoshea Hashem es amcha, God should bring salvation for His people, Esheiris Yisrael, the remnants of the Jewish folk, b'chol parshas ha'ibu yu tzarchechem, tzarchechem lefanecha. And God, we're asking you to please see the needs of Klal Yisrael, all the pressing needs in front of you. The Gemara adds Rabbi Eliezer's nusach. He says, "Asei ritzoncha b'shamayim, fulfill God your divine will, your plan, mimal, from up there. Teinachas ruach li reyecha mitachas, and bestow nachas or goodness on your creatures here on earth. Vatov be'anecha asei, and do what's good in your eyes." Yeah, that's an interesting tefillah, no? You say to God, do what's good in your eyes, right? Baruch atah Hashem shomea tefillah. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Shema Shavas Amcha Yisrael. Listen to the prayer, the calling, the crying out of your people of Israel. Vasei mehera bakosha som, and fulfill their petitions immediately. Baruch atah shomea tefillah. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadik Omer, Shema tzakas amcha Yisrael vasei meher bakosha som, Baruch ato Hashem shomea tefillah. Acherim omrim, tzarchei amcha Yisrael meruvin, the needs of your people are great, v'daitam ktsar, their ability to express those needs is very limited. Yiratzom fanecha Hashem alkeinu shetitein l'chol echad v'echad k'dei parnasoso, bestow upon everyone what he needs, l'chol gviya dei mechsar, whatever he needs. Omer avhuna alocha kachir. So the Rav says, what is this Gemara all about? What's the fundamental source or the root of this controversy? And really, when you look at it, all the different formulations of the Tefillah Ketzara look almost identical. What's the difference between one and the other? And the Gemara presents these various opinions of the Tanoim. Does anybody want to take a guess? What is the problem of a tefillah ketzara that the chachamim, all these different tanoim are encountering? Why is a tefillah ketzara problematic?
Perhaps you don't have the shoes to do.
Because again, it's not a tefillah. It's not a structured tefillah. This is not the tefillah. And if there's no tefillah, then you have no license to pray. Says the Rav. Kevon she'ein ha-mispal, this is line 5. Mishtamish b'metbeir shel tefillah, since in this case of tefillah ktsara, he's not taking advantage of the formula of tefillah as it was structured by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, he's not utilizing an amida with yudches brachos, then it's his own personal private prayer and he's not allowed to do so. So if you take a look at the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, he says, you know what he's allowed to do? Asei ritzoncha b'shamayim. Very interesting. God, fulfill the will, your will in Shamayim. Now keep in mind, you remember the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that before tefillah, you're allowed to ask for your own personal petition. We don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. But even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's only samuch, that's only right before, contiguous to the tefillah itself. Here, in the case of Aholich, what was the language? Aholich b'mokom sakona, he's not about to daven. So this tefillah ktsara that he's praying is completely disconnected from your standard tefillah. And therefore, if he's not davening a Shmon Esrei Kvua, the standard structured tefillah, then there's no license for him to pray. But the answer is that Chazal know that you have a tremendous need at a time of life-threatening situation, and they're going to have to find the way of allowing you to pray, and so they're going to try to minimize your prayer as much as possible. Remove it from the level of a personal petition. So what did they allow? What did they not allow? So for example, you have the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. He's the most extreme Shita. And as we said before, Asei Ritzoncha Bashamayim Mimal Vatov Beinecha Asei. Almighty God, do what you think is right. Shkoyach. You know, like, what's the point? It sounds like Yizkata Shmei Rava. You know, may God's name be glorified. The other Tanoim gave you a little bit more rope, a little bit more leeway. And what do they say? Well, we'll allow you to ask some sort of general request. Not. Don't get too personal, too specific. Shema Shavas Amcha Yisrael. Listen to the cry of the people of Israel. The Acherim, which is the last of the opinions, that's the most liberal, they allowed you to ask for parnosa l'cholecha v'yecha. Once again, you're not asking on your own behalf, you're asking on behalf of the members of Klal Yisrael. But only within that structure are you allowed to pray. And this emphasizes the fact that you need a license to pray, and we're going to only give you, it's kind of like the concept of dechuya, whatever is absolutely necessary. You know, it's like if you have a sick person, you violate Shabbos, so do you do everything or you try to do the minimum amount? That's called dechuya. This is kind of a dechuya. You're coming in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and you're not utilizing that secret weapon that allows you entry, namely the tefillah, as it was formulated, then it's going to be very limited. A similar sugi we find in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin and Beis regarding the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Vayavar Hashem Panav Yikra Amar Yab Yochanel Moli Mikra Kosvi Yav Shalomar Melamech and Isatei Vakadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibu Vehera Lo Moshe say their tefillah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu after the Chet HaEgel teaches Moshe Rabbeinu what it means to be a Shliach Tzibur. And he tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I am going to call out the 13 attributes of mercy, and you could imitate that as a Shliach Tzibur, the Kol Zman Yisrael Chotim, whenever the Jewish people sin, Yasu Lefonai Kiseder Azev Ani Mocha Lehem. So you have to imitate this entire structure of the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim. So the Rav asks, I don't understand the whole Gemara, the whole sugi makes no sense. You need a new halacha derived from a pasuk that God showed Moshe how to daven? And based on this, we have halacha of slichos throughout the Aseret Yemei Tshuva on all the fast days, whenever we repent from our sins. But the answer is again, what is slichos lacking? When you recite the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, what is it outside of? Speak a little loud, I don't hear you.
It's outside of
the structure of
the Heter
Shmon Esrei. It's not a Shmon Esrei. It doesn't have the three Rishonos. It doesn't have the Emtsoyos. It doesn't have the three Hodoyos at the end. And therefore, once it's outside of the framework of Tefillah, then who says you're allowed to pray it? In fact, the Rambam says that you pray it before daybreak. Oh, that's not a Zman Tefillah. Okay, but the Eved, I guess you could add Ma'ariv then, maybe. But we never talk about the time of Ma'ariv as Ashmores HaBoker. The Rambam's language in the third parak of Tshuva, Nogu Kulam, Lokum Balel, Balayla Basor Yomim Elus Palba Tegnesis Dimitachum Ad Sheyoyer Yom. So Slichas are recited before daybreak, according to the Rambam? The answer is that if not for this Heter, if not for the license that Kodesh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, it's not a tefillah. And if it's not a tefillah, then it's not allowed. Why is it allowed? The answer is because of tshuva. Because the tzibur now needs desperately to repent. So they allow the Tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch himself, allow the Tzibur to repent through the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. That's the only case in which we're going to allow a prayer outside of the structure of Tefillah. And now the Rav goes even one step further. Not only does a personal request require a matir, some sort of license, but even the tefillah itself requires a matir. And that was the Gemara that we saw before of Rav Simlai, which he quotes again here for a second time on the top of Mem Dalet, if you look at the next page, that we derive from Moshe Rabbeinu, that before Moshe asked for permission to enter into Eretz Yisrael, he began by saying, God Lecha, by speaking about the greatness of God. So he ranged the praise of Almighty God before his bakasha, before his petition. And from this we derive the conclusion that the structure of Shmon Esri itself needs a matir. And what's going to be the matir to permit us to recite the Shmon Esri, which is full of bakashos, 13 of them? What's the answer, my friends?
First three brachos.
Exactly. What are those first three brachos? What unit are they? Give it by one name. I'm not asking you to break them down into their three individual personalities. Shevach. The Shevach itself has to come first. Rashi explains this. Sholosh brachos rishonos avos gvuros kedusha Hashem shemem tefila. There is no bakasha, there is no request. Ela shevach. The acher kach, and only afterwards, b'shar brachos yesh divrei tchino utfil. You can continue on by asking God to help you in the 13 different ways and categories that we have in the emtsayos. Then the Rav goes one step further. He says that even though Shevach is the license for us to offer supplication, but Shevach itself needs a matir. Not only does supplication and petition require a license, but even praise to Almighty God requires a license. Who are you to praise Almighty God? How does the Rav know this? From another sugya. It's amazing how he's weaving together so many different sugyas. The Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Ches asks the following question. Shimon HaPekuli somehow added some new element. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, there were 120 Zkenim, the elders who sat on the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, the Great Assembly. And there were some prophets amongst them. And they organized the structure of the Shmon Esrei as we know it. So what did Shimon HaPekuli have to add? The Gemara says it got forgotten. They didn't have computers with backups like we have today. So it got forgotten. And Shimon HaPekuli as a single-handedly was able to come back and restructure the entire Shmon Esrei. And not only that, the Gemara adds another sentence. Mikan v'yelech, asur l'saper b'shvachos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With the exception of those three brachos that form the unit called Shevach, we're not permitted to praise God. I know what you're thinking, Neil. I'm reading your mind. You know, what do you mean you can't praise God? Can't I wake up in the morning and sing with Simon and Garfunkel feeling groovy? Can I do that? And the Rav says, no, you're not allowed to do that. The Omer Abulazar, my dichsiv, what does the pasuk mean? Mi amaleel gvuris Hashem yashmiya kol tilaso. Who can speak of the greatness, the power of Almighty God, and sound off all of God's praises? Lemi noel amaleel gvuris Hashem. What David HaMelech is trying to say is, who is worthy of describing the greatness of God? Lemishi yochel hashmiya kol tehillah. So only a person who can continue and embellish and encompass all the praises of God. How many praises of God are there?
Infinite.
Amar Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Mesaper b'shvachol shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoser Midai. If he tries to add new categories and descriptions to God in his praise, Nekar min Olam. Quotes of Pasuk and Eov to prove this. I mean, you and I would have said that Adarabba, let's encourage someone to add as much praise as he can. Let him stand there like a poet and write his, you know, liturgy until ad infinitum. Dorash Rabbi Yudish Kfar Guvraya, Amelish Kfar Gibor Chayel, Maidich Siv Lechad Dumiya Tehila, which David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Dumiya Tehila, you should be silent about praising God. Sama Dekula, the most blessed Simon of a person is shtikusa, that he, in this case, he's quiet. There's a Gemara in Brachas, I'm surprised the Rav doesn't quote it, about one Amora who got up and he started saying, you know, Divrei Shevach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is this, God is that, and finally say he ran out of adjectives. So they said to him, Ad Kan? That's it? God is no greater than that? And they said to me, Malel, you shouldn't have begun. It's an impossible task. Therefore, the Rav says that tefillah itself needs a matir. Now we come full swing back to the Gemara in Perikei Omdim. This, if you remember the page I gave you, was the fourth source on your page. Yochol yispalo odom kol yom kulo. A person might think, let him daven and daven and daven the whole day. But we derive from Daniel, zimnin tlasa. In other words, you need the structure of Shmon Esrei, and only within that structure are you permitted, do you have license to pray? The Rush, in the third parak, in Perek Misha Meso, excuse me, says over in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah that this sugya is a proof for Rav Haigon. What is Rav Haigon? Rav Haigon says, and we saw it before, that you can't just add another tefillah beyond the three, call it nedava on a voluntary basis, unless you're machadish badavar. Somehow the chidish badavar itself is going to give you license to add another prayer to the three. So when Daniel tells us three and not more than three, that's without a chidish badavar, when you're repeating the same identical structure of the framework of Shmon Esrei. But if you add and you change, then and only then do you have license for a tefillas nedava to add another prayer voluntarily.
Is that why when the Gemara says the Vayishid Palakolayim, we're saying that's only regarding Chiddush Davar?
Correct, only with a Chiddush Davar. And that's what he says here. You see the next paragraph, which I also have for you on the page. It's the third source on your page. The Vade Lokomi Boilem Chova Shis Palanam Kolayim Kula. The Gemara never thought that you have a responsibility to daven more than three davenings. El b'tfilas reshus kami boile. The question was, can a person daven the whole day a voluntary prayer? Veheshiv lo, no. Lo yispal el gimel pa'amim. No, so what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said, alavayish yispal el mekol yom kulo? The answer is, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a case of what? Of chidish badavar. When he's mechadish badavar, then and only then is he allowed to daven. And why? I mean, daven beyond the chiyuv. Because that creates what's called a tefillas tachnunim. And that entity of tefillas tachnunim, which is generated by a chiddush badavar, is permissible even without a chiyuv. So therefore, says the Rav in the bottom paragraph on page Mem Dalet, that tefillas nedava, which we mentioned in the name of Shmuel, that was the Gemara here on Daf Chof Aleph, in Brachos, the second source on your page, that tefillas nedava stands on two fundamental rules. Number one, that on the one hand, you could create a cheftza shel tefila even without a chovas gavra. In other words, whereas in other mitzvos, the mitzvah act is defined as such because of the chovas gavra. In the case of tefila, even lacking a chovas gavra, you can create an entity of tefillah. But at the same time, number two, the second principle is that if you want to create that new entity of tefillah, which you can and you have the power to do, even without a chovas gavra, then you need a matir. He says in number two Pu'ulas ha'tfila al yidei ha'gavra tfluya lo rak b'yeshus chefza shel tfila b'tzuras ha'tavnisa. He says to create this entity of tefillah depends not only on the content of the tefillah, ki im gam beheter unetilas rishus, you need a license to create that tefillah. And what is that license? How does man have the audacity to enter into the king with his own optional, voluntary supplication? And the answer is that the pu'ulas heksha machshirus hagavra lamfnei malkus shalom tachnunu v'akoshes al tzrochim piyutus u'nishen ha'mamish belina tilus rishus v'eti efshal ispalel. He says that, number one, he has the gibel tfilos, the matter of which is the fact that this is what he has to daven. So the fact that he's required, he's obligated to daven shachris and mincha, that itself gives him license. Then moving on to page Memhei. And the Rav extends this, or expands this, to say that the obligation itself now converts itself into a matir, into a license, that allows him to stand in front of Almighty God. However, now that he's finished his obligation, he's completed his obligation, fulfilled three tefillos in the day, even though he has the ability to create another chefza shel tefillah, without the chovas kavra, without the obligation, nevertheless, there's no more matir, because he's already davened three times. So his obligation has already been fulfilled. What would be the netilas rishus? What would give him license to do so? And the answer is, chidush ba'davar. Im yochal, just one second, im yochal l'charish davar, you see I underlined it? Ulevakesh min ha'kodesh baruch al dvarim shlo hizkir betfilas chova didei? Tzorech ze matir. The need that he has, which he adds in a new entity of tefillah, that is no longer a duplicate of the previous tefillah, that itself grants him license to create this tefillah. Okay, we'll get back. Right now he's going to get back to Safek Hispal, Safek Lo Hispal. But before we get to that, let's just again look this over one more time. He's saying, why is it that Chidush Ba'davar gives a person a license to add another tefillah even without a Chovas Gavra? So you don't have a license of Chovas Gavra. So how does the Chidush Ba'davar supply him with a license? So the Rav takes a step back and he says, well, what in general is tefillah all about? The answer is tefillah is about man's needs. He calls it tzorech. Whatever man's needs are, because it's, how do you say in English, meitzerlo, it's in modern Hebrew they say matziklo, it's something bothering him, something annoying him, something's lacking or deficient in his life. And therefore, he wants to put forth a request, and his desire is to pray to God that Almighty God fulfill this request. That need is itself a license for tefillah. But even so, only if it's a tefillah's nedava. How do you create that tefillah's nedava, that new entity? Under what conditions does your personal need allow you, grant you permission to create that tefillah? Only if he's mechadish ba'davar. By being mechadish ba'davar, he changes the tefillah, converts it into a tefillah's nedava. If he doesn't add anything, this is at the end of that top paragraph on page Memhei, if he doesn't add anything, but rather duplicates the matbeah shel tefillah, then he's recreating what? The same entity of chova. And that he has no right to do, because Daniel taught us that how many times is a tefillah shel chova? What's the magic number, the ceiling? Three, and not more than three.
It seems like it's a very open-ended...
Do you have any extra words?
Open-ended, I don't know if it's license.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
It's a very open-ended license. You're saying it's very restricted, but on the other hand, it's very open-ended. Except,
well, I don't know. You know, according to those Rishonim who say Chidush Ba'davar requires every single bracha to add something. I don't know if you've ever tried this. Yeah, have you ever davened a tefillah nedava? I mean, it's very rare. I'll tell you why. What I do on occasion when I need a tefillah nedava is I actually sit down. I'm not telling you have to do this, but I think it's recommended. I sit down with pen and paper and I write down 13 different bakashas so that when I get up, I'll be able to look down at my page and add them into tefillah. It's a whole to do. Thank you so much.
Amen.
The Rav expands on this in the next paragraph on page Mem Hey. He says, "Oh, this is a real brisker piece over here. Look at this." He says that there are two halachas in tefillah. One halacha is called the matbeah hatefillah, and the other halacha is called the matir of tefillah. This is a brisker tzvei din. He says the halacha of matbeah tefillah requires one to pray utilizing a certain specific formula, what's called the nusach tefillah. That's called matbeah tefillah. And there's another halacha that you need a matir. Now let's just analyze this requirement with regard to tefillas nedava. You've already fulfilled your chiyuv of davening three times a day. Now you have to be mechadish badavar. Where does that halacha belong? Do we subsume it under the general halacha and the requirement of matbeah shel tefillah? You have to change the matbeah shel tefillah, otherwise you're lacking in a matbeah shel tefillah. Or is it halacha in the matir? Says the Rav, that if you don't add anything to your tefillah, then he's not allowed to pray a tefillah nedava. And are we saying that therefore it's as if he omitted one of the brachos? That's called matbeah shel tefillah. Do you see that on the third line in that paragraph? Vidino ki'ilo chiser achas min abrachos? Is that the way we want to go? Or no? What he's lacking is the matir, is the permission. He says, in the case where he would daven a fourth tefillah for the day without adding anything of his own, that tefillah itself is not lacking anything. You know, is the tefillah itself, meaning the formula of the tefillah, the recitation of the tefillah, the matbeah shel tefillah, is not deficient. There's halacha that if you change the matbeah, the way that the Chazal established tefillah, then you're not yotzei. That's called mishanami matbeah shetov chacham b'brachos. But here, he davened exactly, utilizing the exact identical matbeah, the formula of tefillah, as it was created. And yet, he's not yotze. He has no mitzvah. He hasn't fulfilled anything by adding a fourth tefillah without chidush badavar. But why? After all, the matbeah is perfect. There's nothing deficient. He didn't change the matbeah of chachamim. The only answer is, says the Rav, the only feasible explanation for this halacha, that if you're not mechadish badavar, you weren't yotzei tefillah, is that you daven without a heter, without a permission, without a license. You need the chidush badavar for the license. Oh. Now we get back to our original question. What about a case of suffik is palel, suffik lo is palel? There we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, he can get up and he can daven, and he doesn't have to be mechadish badavar. What's going on over here? I mean, after all, if you were to tell me that chidush davar is a requirement in the matbeah shel tefillah, then in the case of sofik is palel, sofik lo is palel, once again he's lacking, he's deficient in the matbeah tefillah because he wasn't mechadish badavar. So it cannot be that in the case of sofik is palel, we're going to create another matbeah shel tefillah. That's ridiculous. That's an untenable position. The answer is no. The din and the requirement of chidush badavar has nothing to do with the matbeah shel tefillah. The matbeah shel tefillah is perfect. There's no deficiency. It's exactly the way the Chacham organized tefillah. but rather you need a matir. Says the Rav, here's the difference between a tefilas nedava and a case of suffik is palil. He says, when do you need a chiddush b'davar? That's only when there's no pressing need that could justify and permit you to add another tefillah to the standard three that you're obligated. But if there's a pressing need for you to daven, and that is Shem is palel, Shem alo is palel, then he says that the suffix itself, you see I underlined it there at the end of that paragraph, atzmo, you have that atzmo shel suffix hu amatir. What gives him permission to enter lageshes, meaning to encounter, to come close to his Father in heaven with his own supplication? After all, he's not obligated to do so, so he doesn't have the matir. The answer is the suffix itself. The suffix itself creates a matir. Now, I want to take a minute of your time to go back and put this, because again, this is one unit in the Shia, namely the concept that tefillah needs a matir. I want to take that back and compare it to the previous unit, which the Rav establishes, if you turn back for a moment, to page Lamed Ches on the bottom, but mostly I want to focus your attention on Lamed Tes, Mem, and Mem Aleph. Those three pages. And again, we're not going to go through this inside, but if you recall, the Rav was bothered by this very same Gemara in Ein Omdim, in Brachas Lamed Aleph. This is in the last paragraph of Lamed Ches. The Gemara thinks that you might be able to be mispalel kol hayom kula. And the Gemara rejects it based on a pasuk in Daniel, v'zimnin t'losa. So the Rav wants to understand, how is this different? I'm just trying to jolt your memory. In a case where I benched already, can I bench again? A case where I recited Kiddush already, can I recite Kiddush a second time? What kind of bracha would that be? A bracha vatola. So what was the havamina here that a person could daven more than what he's obligated to daven? That was one question that the Rav asked. The second question the Rav asked was, Rabbi Elazar says in Brachas Chavches, Ha'oset tfiloso keva ein tfiloso tachnunim. My keva kolshet tfiloso doma love kemasoi. And Rashi says, Chokavu alai lispalel. V'tzarech ani lotzes yidei chovasi. Very strange. With regard to any other mitzvah in the Torah, that's exactly the attitude that I have to take. That it's chok alai, chokavu alai. I have to take the lulav because it's a chok. I have to eat the matzah because it's a chok. Especially with the prices of matzah today. So why did the Gemara think that with regard to tefillah, the attitude of chok alai is antithetical to tefillah? Then the Rav asks another question. With regard to women, the Gemara establishes that women are obligated in tefillah. This is on page Mem. Even though tefillah, the way we know it, is a mitzvah saseh, shazman groma, you have to daven shachris, in its time, mincha in its time, etc. Why then are women obligated to daven? So the Gemara answers, there's a Gemara in Brachos, tefillah rachmei ninu. So what? Tefillah rachmei ninu. So based on all these questions, the Rav comes to a conclusion, and I want to compare that conclusion to the one that we derived tonight, that tefillah is different than every single mitzvah. You see, it's on top of page Mem. In every other mitzvah, what creates the asiyah, what gives meaning to the act of the mitzvah, it's the chovas gavra. With regard to tefillah, what gives meaning to the act of the mitzvah, it's the concept of rachmei ninhu. And that's what the Rav says here on page Mem. I underlined it. Yeshna cheftza shal tefillah mesuderes b'chosesh she'ena tluya klal b'chiyuvei agavra. The Gemara had a havamina that you could daven more than three times. Why? How's it different than Birkas HaMazon? I already benched. I'm going to bench again? I didn't eat in between. I recited Kiddush, I can recite Kiddush again. So why in Tefillah? I recited Tefillah and then I have a Av Min, I can recite Tefillah again. The answer is that Tefillah is different than all the other mitzvahs. All the other mitzvahs, in order to set up a Maisa mitzvah, you need what? A Chovas Gavra. In the case of Tefillah, you don't need a Chovas Gavra. There's some sort of spontaneous mitzvah act, which has its own inherent significance, even barring, even omitting the Chovas Gavra. And that's called Rachmei Ninu. The fact that we need this tefillah, we need this prayer desperately, and we depend upon it, that itself sets up an entity of prayer. Therefore, women like men are obligated in tefillah because they too can create this entity of tefillah because tefillah is Rachmei Ninu. Therefore, Ha'osa tefillah so keva, if he turns his tefillah into a keva, as if to say, I'm davening because I'm obligated,
there's no
then that's not Rachmei Ninu. He's avoiding, not avoiding, he's, I can't remember who's his face,
he missed,
I'm looking for a better word, he fudged it, but okay, I'm looking for a word. He gave up on the Iker of Tefillah, on the primary mode and purpose of Tefillah, namely Rachmei Ninu. Tefillah is a cheft of Rachman. And insofar as it's a cheft of Rachman, the cheft of the entity of Tefillah exists spontaneously without a Chovas Gavra. And therefore the Gemara thinks that maybe Shadavin the whole day? Good. Now, let's put all that together with what we did tonight.
Makes sense.
Okay, 1 second. Let me just present the question, then you'll give me the answer. My question for tonight is, the Rav, in what we studied tonight, excuse me, has established that a person needs a license for prayer. And without that license, it's a chutzpah, it's a ozus ponifim to go in. If he wants to put forth his personal prayer, he cannot do so. Except maybe within the framework of tefillah, maybe right after the tefillah, he's still standing in front of Hashem. The only exceptions to the rule are b'makom sakana, and even there, b'koshi, they allowed him to say tzarchei amcha merubim and asei ritzoncha in the case of yud gimel midas harachmim for the sake of tshuvas hatzibur. But barring that, you need the matir of tefillah. You want to add your own supplications, it's got to be connected to tefillah. So how do I reconcile that with the fact that Adarabba, Tefillah is Rachmei Ninu, and through the Tefillah Rachmei Ninu, I can create an entity of Tefillah. So if I can create an entity of Tefillah, then I should be obligated to do so. Yeah, what do you say?
It would be overkill.
Overkill? That's the answer to this whole question I had tonight? In one word? I'm impressed. I mean, I can't say for sure I understand what you're saying. But I have a feeling I understand what you're saying, like intuitively, maybe.
You make it too...
Meaning...
You cheapen it.
Let me just ask my question one more time. Just again, sometimes... You know, sometimes a question... It's a very complicated question. I think if you repeat it, maybe it clarifies the issue.
If it's Rachamim...
If it's Rachamim, then what should bring me to create tefillah is the fact that I have the power and the need to create tefillah. And that tefillah becomes an entity of tefillah because the tefillah Rachmei Ninu. Now you turn around and you tell me, no, you can't just create an entity of tefillah. You just convinced me that that if not for the pasuk in Daniel of Zimnin Tlasa, the Gemara says, Yachal Ad Mispal Kol Yom Kulo, maybe you should continue davening and davening and davening. And then you hit me with all these proofs that no, you can't just daven.
You're arbitrating. You're arbitrating it.
Arbitrating? Okay.
Right now, what he's saying.
Arbitrating is that...
It's arbitrary in these certain...
Oh, you mean to say... It can't just be loose, so to speak, without a structure. You mean we need some sort of a...
Before it was Rachman, and now you're saying it has to be fixed within.
Okay, I like that. That's very good.
How about?
Wait, let me just digest what he's saying, Shmuel, and then the floor is yours. So what we're saying here is the following. What's your first name? I forget.
David.
So David is saying the following. If I understand, David, you'll tell me if this is what you're saying. If okay, I'm going to try it and see if. I think what David is saying is the following. Yes, in its essence, in its source, tefillah is rachmin. I have a need, and that need is expressed in prayer. But on the other hand, it can't just be structuralist, it can't be anarchy. It's got to fit into a permission, a mode of permission that allows me to stand in front of Almighty God, push the gates of heaven open, and present Him with my prayer. So in essence, what we're saying is that, yeah, you could create an entity of tefillah, and therefore you would certainly require a woman to pray. She needs that entity of tefillah, that rachmininu, just like a man does. But, nevertheless, there's something that has to tamper that down. You know, it's like in I don't know if you ever heard of Hegel. Hegel had this thing called thesis and antithesis. You know, it's Schneim Hochs und Vitalis. You know, there's something, there are two forces pulling in opposite directions. One force yells out and says, pray to God because it's your need. Daven because it's tefillah, rachmeinin. Man was created as a being that is totally dependent upon Almighty God. And therefore he must daven, like the oxygen that he breathes. And that need for man to set up a tefillah, rachmeinu, rises above all the requirements to set up a vice of mitzvah through a chovas gavra, all that, forget about it. You could create an entity of prayer. That's the kos of Arishon. Then you have a kos of Asheni. The kos of Asheni says, who are you to stand up in front of prayer, in God pray? Yeah, I understand you have needs. You have a desire to pray. But it's a chutzpah on your part. So the kos of Ashlishi Ayachriya Beinayim is where the Anshei Knesset HaGdola come in. They step into the picture. They create a framework. That framework itself has a matir of Shevach. The Shevach itself needs a matir, which we haven't discussed exactly what that matir is yet. But apparently it's something to do with the structure of tefillah. Beyond that structure of tefillah, you have no license to pray. So yes, you need to pray. We're going to give expression to that. We're going to give vent to your need to pray. But it's got to be a specific prayer that allows you permission to present your prayer and supplication in front of Almighty God. That's the kos of Ashlishi. Here is the structure of prayer that will allow you to do it. Oh, what about tefillas nedava? Oh, that's not so simple either. Because basically it feels the dove takes you back to a kosva risha that says, well, I want to pray, I'm in the mood to pray, I'm in the need to pray, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to create an etzi tefillah. Uh-uh. There's a kosva shnein. And what's the kosva shnein? He says, who are you to do so? And the kosva shlishi is to create some sort of entity of tefillah, which is rachmeinu. But nevertheless, there's a structure to it. A, it's got to be the matbea shetovu chachamim. That structure of tefillah with the Yud Gimel and Tzoyos flanked on both sides by Shevach and Hodoya. And B, you've got to convert it into Rachmeinu. Do you see the two elements? You have A plus B, then it's not a chutzpah, you have the hat and the heter. How do you convert it into Rachmei? By changing the tefillah itself, by adding it. Not because if you don't add it, you're lacking, you're deficient in the matbeishal tefillah, your matbeishal tefillah is perfect. But because you have to change it now to a tefillah's tachnunim. Beyond that, we know of only two other matirim that because of the pressing need, there was a special takana to expand the original takana. The original takana, which was meant to curb man. As you said before, you know, that it shouldn't just be arbitrary. It shouldn't just be open-ended. And that was the takana of the Amida as we know it. There were two other takanas. Takana number one is Makom Sakana. Makom Sakana is such an overwhelming need. The Rabban are going to make a special takana. No Shmon Esrei. We're going to allow you to pray. But we're going to clip the wings. It's going to be very, very restricted. You have to already demonstrate that this is not really the kind of tefillah that should be recited. we have no choice. You know, you're about to get hit by an avalanche. This is what you got to do. And number two, when it's a tshuva of the tzibur, and that's Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim, again, based on a source in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe, this is the Seder HaTefillah, when the tzibur needs to do tshuva. When and under what situations can I add my own personal supplication? Very limited. One man the other says only within tefillah. You can't even go beyond tefillah. Not one inch, not one iota to the left or to the right. You got to be within the box. I had a teacher in high school used to say, stay in your box. Everyone had to keep their chairs in the box. The box here is Shmon Esri. You can't go beyond that. And then you have Rebbe Lozman of Yoshua who say, no, we're going to allow you Bakoshas Rachamim outside of tefillah, but only if it's connected to tefillah. Rabbi Lezer says it's got to come before the tefillah, because after the tefillah already, you know, you'd be implying a disparaging comment on tefillah. It's incomplete, but before the tefillah. But if it's latched on to the tefillah, sort of like a symbiotic relationship, you know, you latch on to the tefillah, then we're going to allow the matir. And Rabbi Yeshua says no. Before the tefillah, who are you? What permission do you have? After the tefillah, you're already standing in front of the melech, then you could add your tefillah. Okay? Shmuel, what do you say? Is it making sense? I mean, again, we're trying to make sense out of all this.
I was going to say, depending on the reason for the tefillah, I mean, depending on the, you know, why,
what the pressing need is, you mean?
Yeah, conference? Meaning, depending on whether or not, do we allow you to, does it come in or out of the box? Meaning, if you know, it's depending on, there are certain times where, you know, exactly what you were saying about, you know, about getting out of the structure.
Right.
So that's
so I just want to make
depending on the depending on the reason for the tefillah. That's what I was going
to ask. I need your help to make a sign as to where we're up to. Okay, so that next time we could mamish push towards the almost the end. Where did we stop? Just if everyone could just make that sign. We got to Mem Hey. Mm-hmm. Did we get to Mem Vav? I forget.
No.
So we're up to Mem Hey. 45. Okay, so who can remember Mem Hey?